My favorite fruit is salmonberry. Has anyone ever heard of salmonberries? You can, as far as I'm aware, you can only find them in the Tungeness rainforest. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but all along the west coast of the United States, up through British Columbia and then to Alaska, is the Tungeness rainforest. It's a temperate rainforest, not a tropical rainforest, but I've had them in Washington State, and I've also had them in Alaska, but they're these little berries that look kind of like a raspberry, you know, with the shape and structure, but they're much larger, and they kind of have a pale orangish salmon color, and they kind of look like salmon eggs, which is why they're called salmon berries, but oh my goodness, they're so sweet, and people make salmon berry syrup and jelly, and so when Tyler asked me that question, he's like, oh, Paul, what's your favorite fruit? I said, salmonberry. Oh, Haley, what's your favorite fruit? Rainier cherries. Like, just not your normal. I guess Haley and I have refined taste buds when it comes to special fruits that one can't normally find in a grocery store around here. But every once in a while we get Rainier cherries around here, but never salmonberries, unfortunately. Anyway, and I just want to reaffirm what Tyler said. Al Whittinghill is one of the greatest speakers I've ever heard in my life. He's humble. He spouts out scripture so fast, you can't even write down all the references. I mean, it's like drinking water out of a fire hose. I mean, this is the kind of guy that he's up at like 2 a.m, 3 a.m. praying because God is just stirring his heart and things. Just a wonderful guy. So really encourage, you know, especially our men, take advantage of that time. Once again, we're not going to be going out to the cabin like originally planned, but 6 p.m., there will be a nice big steak dinner on that Friday, March 27th. Submerged men are invited to join the Calvary men with that, and he'll do session one, and then the next morning, March 28th, it'll be 7:30, and I'll be putting these email or details in the email. No, there's not. Calvary is covering, I think, most all of it. You know, I think we will, as a church, kind of chip in. I've been telling Pastor Dave, but anyway, going to be a great time. Yeah, so 7:30 breakfast, and then there'll be two sessions with Al, and then 12 o'clock lunch on that Saturday. And then the rest of it's open to the public. So, but I'd really encourage you guys, if you can go to any or all of it, it'll be well worth your time. Be very stirring and a great time. So once again, those of you, I think everyone knows me here, but my name is Paul Letvin, one of two pastors here at Submerged Church, and just really excited to enter into this series on Fruit of the Spirit. It's going to be four parts, and actually this is going to be a good follow-up talk from the message that I gave from February 2nd on what are the chances. We talked about, you know, the certainty of our salvation. How can you know that you're saved? How can you tell if someone's really saved? And that message I talked, you know, point two was if they bear fruit. That's a good indicator that somebody probably has the Holy Spirit living in them. They're saved and things like that. So I'm going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, what does that mean? How do we bear fruit? Things like that. Pastor Bob recently has talked about the Holy Spirit and the roles that he takes as well, bringing conviction. He's our counselor. He's our helper. And these are all fruits of the Spirit. You know, when we accept Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. Ephesians 1:13 and 14, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. So we have the living God through the Holy Spirit living inside of us who gives us the capability to bear that good fruit. Now, something else that's amazing about that is, think about this, you know, that Holy Trinity has existed for all eternity. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. So when we accept Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit come to dwell within us, he invites us into that Trinity, that perfect relationship. Isn't that amazing? We don't become gods or a god, but with the Holy Spirit living in us, we're invited into that intimate triune relationship. That's an amazing thing. I mean, we could stop right there and just, okay, let's go home and think about that for the next 5 months. I mean, it's mind-blowing if you take the time to just be like, wow, I'm invited into the Trinity with the Holy Spirit living in me. So we're gonna talk about, yeah, what that means to bear good fruit. Once again, the big idea today is bear and share good fruit. So if you remember anything from today, it's to bear and share. And notice it says good fruit. There's different kinds of fruit. I'm going to talk about that today. But we want to bear and share good fruit. I'm just going to pray once again that God blesses our time here. Father, we thank you for being here with us. We thank you for sending your son to die on the cross. We thank you for the promised Holy Spirit, Jesus, that you promised you would send a helper. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us, that he dwells inside us. Lord, help us to acknowledge the Holy Spirit's presence more. Lord, we pray that you teach us, show us, how can we let you work through us more effectively so that we are bearing these fruits of the Spirit. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I'm just going to read that main verse again. It's at the top of your bulletin notes as well. Great verse to memorize, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. If you do these, practice these character qualities, you really don't have to worry about anything else. You know, Jesus summed it up even more simply. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, if we're doing those two things, you are living out God's commandments, God's law. And I'm going to do this a little bit later too, but one way that we remember verses at our house is we make up songs and we sing them. So I'm going to teach you the song that we sang for this one. I'm going to sing it again later. If anybody really wants to get serious about this, I'd be happy to send you, I'll sing a Voxer message to you or something, and then you can just listen to it over and over. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So there's, thank you. It's hard for me to recite this verse without singing it because I've got the song going in my head. It takes great focus and concentration not to sing. Anyway, but that's just me. This quote I really like, very thought-provoking. This is by Aaron M. Brewster of Evermind Ministries. He says, you cannot be saved and lack the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot be saved and lack the fruit of the Spirit. And we've heard that saying, well, once saved, always saved, which I do believe is true. I have a Catholic friend who that phrase drives him crazy. Once saved, always saved, because then they think that Protestants think that, oh, I prayed the prayer, bam, I'm good to go. Got my free ticket. I can live my life however I want. I can get drunk every weekend. I can be immoral. I can run after money, blah, blah, blah. But I said the prayer, right? And now I'm done, right? Doesn't work that way. Yes, it's true that if you, and we'll talk about this kind of throughout, if you truly accept Jesus as your Savior, yes, you are saved indefinitely. But I think there's a lot of people out there who think they're saved, like, yep, when I was 5 years old, I prayed this prayer, so I'm good to go. That's my fire insurance, okay? I sign, you know? But if they're not living a life that's bearing fruit, chances are they did not authentically accept Jesus as their Savior, if that makes sense. So don't be twisting my words in your head. I believe, yes, once you pray to receive Christ, you are saved, if indeed it was authentic. And of course, God knows our hearts, and then it will be evident to those around us if someone's saved, like I talked about 3 weeks ago, you know, if they manifest the love of God, if they bear fruit, if they can easily say Jesus is Lord, and if they don't abandon the faith. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. So I would agree with this statement. You cannot be saved and lack the fruit of the Spirit. We're not saved by good works. We're saved to do good works. And it should be evident that those good things are coming out of our lives as we're living a life that's obedient to Jesus Christ. So first point here, healthy trees bear good fruit. So if someone's a Christian, if they claim to be saved, they should be bearing good fruit. If you are spiritually healthy, you'll be bearing good fruit. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. This is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. You will recognize them by their good fruits. And that one right before it. You know, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I think we all know what that means. This is convicting. This is challenging. You'll recognize them by their fruits. Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Now the question we need to ask ourselves here, am I bearing good fruit or bad fruit? Am I bearing good fruit or bad fruit? Now it's true, we still live with the sinful nature. We kind of just sang about that in Come Thou Fount, right? It's like, let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. We have this sinful nature that wants to do what it wants to. We read about it in the scripture reading, all those things that we even kind of cringe when they're said out loud. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And some of those sins maybe hit a little closer to home for some of us than others. We still have this sinful nature that we live with. And that's how it's going to be until we die or Jesus comes back, which is why I cling to Philippians 1:6. That's why I wear this ring with the hammer marks in it to remind me, Paul, God's still working on you. You haven't been perfected yet, and that's okay. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So we're going to make mistakes. Jesus doesn't demand perfection. He doesn't expect perfection. You know why? Because he became a human just like us. He knows exactly what it feels like to be tempted because he was tempted, and yet he was without sin. But he understands. He's like, okay, yeah, this person is still cursed with sin. But we should be moving in the right direction. Am I going to speak harshly to my kids and wife every once in a while or every week or every day? Yeah, it's going to happen. But the question is, you know, what are we doing? Are we making corrections? Are we apologizing quickly? Are we memorizing scripture to help fight that sin? Are we becoming more like Christ? So really, you know, are we more consistently showing good fruit and growing that than we are in bad fruit? Are we moving in the right direction? It's not about perfection. It's about direction. Okay, we need to just be moving in that direction. So that's what I mean by this. Am I bearing good fruit or bad fruit? Okay, so we don't have to be perfect, but overall, consistently over time, what's being displayed out of my life? Number two, those who bear fruit hold fast to the word of God. The word. Those who bear fruit hold fast to the word of God. Some translations say cling to. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that, in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. And they bear fruit with patience. So the question here, am I hanging on to life's pleasures or God's promises? Pleasures or promises? Am I hanging on to life's pleasures or God's promises? We need to memorize the word of God. And I talked about this back in January. I did the message on my daily bread, the message on three temptations. What did Jesus say every time he was tempted? It is written. It is written. It is written. Jesus knew the word of God. Why? He is the word of God. But Satan knows it too. And he'll try to take verses to trick us, to turn against us. That's why we need to know the word so much better. We need to, and some of you might remember when I did my daily bread, what do we have to do to eat bread? Well, we have to pick it up. We have to look at it. So that's like we've got to take a bite. That's like when we're meditating on the word, we chew. You've got to swallow it. You have to obey it. You have to let it become a part of you. So once again, that verse at the top of your bulletin there, if you don't have it memorized, great, great verse to memorize. And sometimes I'll even, when I'm doing some of my daily office times and just being still before Jesus And I'll slowly think through each of these fruits. Be like, yep, Jesus, give me more love today. Give me more joy today. Give me peace. Like, and I'll even like breathe in. Like this is what I want to be living inside of me. Peace, give me peace. And then exhale, anxiety, fears, worries. And you know, I do that as I'm thinking and praying and sitting before Jesus, like each of these one at a time. So once again, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Does anybody feel embarrassed for me right now? Like, I was doing, I'm just gonna disappear. I stood in front of 5 to 11-year-olds for 7 years. I made myself look like a complete fool. There's really not much that bothers me anymore, so you guys will get used to it. I'll sing it again later, don't worry. So, next one. Number 3. Whoever abides in Jesus and he in him bears much fruit. Whoever abides in Jesus and he in him bears much fruit. This is a little longer passage here, so bear with me. John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Side note, this is another great passage just to meditate on, to chew on. This is amazing, you know, Jesus' vision for us. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Ouch, we'll talk about that. That it may bear more fruit. Already, you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. That sounds familiar. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Whoa. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Notice that last phrase there. You bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is Jesus' vision for us. Now, of course, the pruning process is painful. I've heard about, read about people that prune apple trees, and they, by the time they're done, it looks like a war zone. You know, there's sap coming out. There, you know, but that apple tree then, the next time it bears fruit, just much, much more abundantly, the fruit that it develops. In fact, that reminds me, we've got a couple apple trees in our front yard. I think I read something that said, like, this is kind of a good time of year to do that pruning while it's still cold right before the, yeah, we've got some agriculture people here. Not, thank you. Okay, so I was informed. But yeah, just to cut some of those branches that look like a little dead, and then when spring comes, it'll be ready to go, and then hopefully bear some more fruit, you know, next fall. But, you know, imagine that right now. If I was that tree, you know, let's think of that analogy. You know, it's cold outside. Things are brittle. You know, when our hands get cold, even like a touch is like way more painful than if our hands are warm. You know, and so just think about that. And God comes up and chink, chink. It's like, ow, ah, what are you doing to me? And we go through these difficult times, don't we? But God knows what he's doing. He's thinking, Paul, this is going to be really painful for you right now. But guess what? You're going to bear more fruit as a result. So I know it hurts, but this is for your good. When we discipline our kids, I know it hurts, but I'm doing this because I love you. I don't want you to go down the path of death and destruction. I want you to learn what it means to live and abide in Jesus. I feel even this church, we've gone through pruning. There's another pastor friend of mine in Castleton, and his church is going through some pruning. 4 families just left recently, and I had a good conversation with them on the phone, and it hurts, but God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. So that pruning hurts, but it's good. So the question is, am I abiding in Jesus or withering away? Am I abiding in Jesus or withering away? And for us to abide in Jesus, it's a daily conscious choice. It's an hourly conscious choice. For me, this watch that Thomas put together, by the way, if you ever need like a cell phone or watch or something amazing, just ask Thomas. He's not here today. He's doing a traveling nurse position. But and then he wanted to upgrade me to a different model where there's like, instead of this silver backing, there's kind of a white backing. You can see the tick marks a little better. He's like, hey, take this, try it out, see what you think. I'm like, okay. And you know, I really came to like this one. And I was looking at it, I was like, oh yeah, that does look a little more flashy. But then I noticed on this watch, the tick marks, the second marks, are red. I was like, wait a minute. I need the blood of Jesus in my life every single second. And I said, Thomas, thanks, but no thanks. I gave him back the other watch that he wanted to trade, and I was like, nope, I'm keeping this one. But yeah, so we need to choose to abide in Jesus every second. When I do that, and I've given a message on this, practicing the daily office, but man, that's been a game changer for me. When I choose to take those days, and you know, a couple times a day, just being still before Jesus, meditating on some scripture, praying silently, even if it's just for, you know, 7-10 minutes, man, it's just huge. When I'm choosing to give Jesus my time, I'm not trying to get anything out of him. I'm just being with him. And it's just been so good for me to take that time to abide in Jesus. Test time. I think I brought up this verse the last time I preached too. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Question, do I pass or fail the test? Now, once again, some of us, especially in the Protestant world, we think to ourselves, yep, I said that prayer when I was 5 years old, I'm good to go. And some people kind of cling to that, and I'm afraid some of those people are going to be really surprised, and Jesus is going to say, you know what, I never knew you. You didn't really authentically mean that when you said that. The way you've lived your life is clear evidence of that. Now, I do not believe you can lose your salvation. I do believe once saved, always saved, but the question is, was it authentic? I don't think we should doubt our salvation. Scripture is clear about that. We should claim, you know, I preached on that 3 weeks ago. We should have 100% assurance of our salvation. But the question is, are we clinging to one little moment when we were 5 years old, or are we really living out our faith? So this is a good thing to ask ourselves. And if people don't know you're a Christian, that might be something to consider. Like, do your neighbors know that you're a Christian? Do your coworkers know? Do they ever hear you talking about God? Do they ever hear you talking about your Bible or praying or, oh, praise the Lord, I got this promotion? You know, it's like, do people know that you're saved? Not that we need to go flashing our faith all over, but my goodness, Jesus told people, okay, don't, the leper, don't go say anything to this. Just go to the Pharisees and present yourself. But what did he do? He went and told everybody, Jesus healed me. He couldn't keep it inside. So that might be something to think about. Do others know that we're in Christ or not? The foolish farmer. Here's a little analogy. So let's say Farmer Lloyd comes up to Farmer Lars and says, hey, Lars, it's springtime. Time to go sow some seed. And Lars just sits on his porch and says, oh, I've got faith that, you know, God's going to take care of that. He'll take care of my field for me. I don't need to go out there and sow that seed. And Lloyd's like, well, okay. And then, you know, summertime's coming, weeds are growing. Hey, Lars, you going to go out and pick those weeds out of your field? Lloyd, God's got this covered. I got faith that he's going to take care of those weeds. I'm just going to sit here on the porch and let him do his job. Okay, then harvest time comes. Hey, Lars, you going to go harvest your crop? Lloyd, I just trust that God's going to take care of that for me. I've got great faith he'll do it. You can see where I'm going with this. If we don't do our job as Christians, we're just like that foolish farmer. God has a role. We have a role. God calls us to sow seeds, to share the gospel. Go, make disciples. We're Christ's ambassadors. Those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. So if we want to see our lives in Christ grow and bear fruit, we need to sow and plant some seeds. every once in a while, right? We've got to share the gospel. We've got to be praying. We've got to be reading our Bibles. We have to be choosing to abiding in Jesus. We need to be serving. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift he has been given to serve others. That's a command. All of us have been given a gift. We need to use it to serve, okay? And if we're not doing these things, we're really not. And if we don't have a desire to do these things, we should ask ourselves, man, do I really have a relationship with Jesus? Because if we do, we should want to pray. We should want to read our Bibles. And don't get me wrong. I don't wake up every morning like, oh yeah, I can't wait to get out of bed and spend time with God. It's becoming more frequent, but it doesn't happen all the time. My flesh says, Paul, hit the snooze button. Paul, sleep in a little bit. You don't need to go right away, okay? But the longer I'm in Christ, the more I do want to be with him. So we must take action. Walk by the Spirit and step with the Spirit. So verse 16 of Galatians 5, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 and 25. We need to do our part and choose to continue to walk by the Spirit. Okay, and I'll close with this. So what does a tree need for growth to bear fruit? So these are things we can be thinking about in our lives. How can I bear more fruit? What needs to happen? What do I need? Well, first thing a tree needs is sunshine. What a tree needs sunshine to grow and bear fruit. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light, isn't that interesting? The fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. We need to expose our sin. We hide things that control us. When we have these secret sins that are controlling us, we try to hide them. They need to be exposed. We need to find someone that we can be accountable to and bring those things to the surface. 1 John 1:5-7. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. A belief becomes a conviction when it's lived out in the open. A belief becomes a conviction when it's lived out in the open. We can say we believe certain things, but if we're not living them out, we don't really believe it. We're not really convicted of it. I was talking to a friend of mine just yesterday about abortion. There's a lot of Christians that, well, should there be abortion or not? No. Okay, well, what are you doing about it? And I'm not trying to judge anybody or anything, but my goodness, if we're against abortion, we should be doing something, giving money to some of these pregnancy agencies, praying in front of the clinic every once in a while. Do you guys know that babies are being murdered right in this city every week? Sometimes 18, sometimes 25. We had one saved last Wednesday. It was amazing. The couple was so happy. I was blessed to be a part of it. It was amazing. Had we not been there, the man himself sent me a text message saying there, had you godly people not been there on the sidewalk, it would have been a disastrous situation. And a baby was saved. What are we living out our convictions? You know, and there's loads of things. You know, and God gives us different passions for different things. I realize that. But you know, if we're convicted of something, we need to get it out in the light. We need to live it out. Number two, soil. We need soil if we're going to grow and bear fruit. Colossians 2:6-7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield in the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Jesus is our rock. He's the ones where we need to let our roots grow deep into. And trust in him, that soil that's going to keep us firm. And then thirdly, trees need sustenance to bear fruit. They need sustenance. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Actually, anything that really lives needs, you know, needs air, needs to be able to breathe, right? And then next year, John 4:10, and then 13 through 14, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but everyone who drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And Jesus is that water. He's that living water that we need to grow to bear fruit. We need to breathe in God. We need to drink in Jesus if we're going to be growing and bearing fruit. Don't forget to share your fruit. So, if I gave this banana to anybody, would anybody eat this banana? Looks pretty good, right? Yeah, this looks like a good banana. Now, this is an interesting thought for me. I have a banana allergy. So if I was to eat this fruit, my throat would start burning. And I was thinking about that actually on the way to church here. It's like, you know what? Sometimes we have good fruit, but the person that we want to share or give it with might not be good timing, actually. You know, let's say, okay, one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy, right? Somebody just loses a loved one. Like, hey, cheer up, it's okay. You know, it's like, whoa, that's going to be like a burning banana down my throat when we try to share that joy with them when they need to go through a process of mourning to heal, right? So I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, yeah. But for the most part, yeah, this is going to be so. Anybody else allergic to bananas around here? Where's Jude? Jude, raise your hand. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, me, Jude and I are. So even banana bread, I can eat it, but man, just burns my throat. So yeah, you guys would eat this, right? Well, guess what happens to that banana if we don't share it with anybody and it just sits on the shelf for a while? Anybody want to eat this banana? I mean, wouldn't be so bad, would it? No. Because what happened? It just sat and sat and sat, and then it turned black. And that's what happens. Trees are the fruit from trees, it's meant to be eaten. It's meant to be shared. We should be sharing love. We should be sharing joy. When we're having times, when we're reading our Bibles, and like, man, God just gave me this, I just feel the peace of Jesus today more than I have in a long time. Go share that with somebody. Share it. Share it. Because if you don't, gets rotten. This is a great, great quote, as you guys have seen up there while I've been talking, by Haley DeMarco. "I tend to make my joy a private experience and hoard all the fruit for myself, forgetting that the tree doesn't eat its own fruit, but presents it to others." We need to share that fruit. We need to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ so that it doesn't go bad and rot. In the next three times that I speak, we're going to go through all nine of those fruits of the Spirit, three at a time. So next week, it'll be love, joy, peace. Next one, patience, kindness, goodness, etc. So, but for today, the big idea, bear and share good fruits. We need to bear and share good fruit. Let's pray. We'll do one more song. Lord, thank you so much for this time. I pray that these truths would sink into us. Lord, help us to be true believers, where it's evident that we're your disciples by the good fruit that we're bearing, Lord. I pray that we'd live out our faith, that we would take time to abide in you, Jesus, that we'd be filled with receiving that sunshine, that soil, that sustenance, and that we would have fruit to share with others. Lord, I pray that you'd just convict us of areas that need to be exposed, and that we would let you deal with it, Lord, and grow in those areas. So, Father, I just pray this coming week, next month, that we would just meditate on that verse. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Help us to grow in those things, Lord. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.